Jesus, you are our protector and deliverer. Hold us close to your heart. Quicken us to pray and save us on that day. Amen. My precious family, I'm making this very short, I thought. About an hour ago, I thought it would be short. But there's another message coming, and it's from the book, A Hope in Winter Comes, which is a collection of the Blessed Mother's appearances to us. Anyway, we finished that book, by the way, in the wee small hours before the morning of 9/11, when we woke up, the Twin Towers were collapsing. It was pretty amazing way to wake up. And we thought it noteworthy that it happened right after we finished the book. Well, this morning, Ezekiel started trembling after he saw in the Spirit the Lord weeping in a picture that he keeps with him. Then he got a reading from Isaiah 33. Lord, be gracious to us. We long for you. Be our strength every morning and our salvation in time of distress. At the uproar of your army, the peoples flee. When you rise up, the nations scatter. Your plunder, O nations, is harvested as by young locusts, like a swarm of young locusts. People pounce on it. The Lord is exalted, for he dwells on high. He will fill Zion with his justice and righteousness. He will be the sure foundation for your times, a rich store of salvation and wisdom and knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the key to this treasure. Look, their brave men cry aloud in the streets. The envoys of peace weep bitterly. The highways are deserted. No travelers are on the roads. The treaty is broken. Its witnesses are despised. No one is respected. The land dries up and wastes away. Lebanon is ashamed and withers. Sharon is like the Araba, and Bashan and Carmel drop their leaves. Now I will arise, says the Lord. Now will I be exalted. Now will I be lifted up. You conceive chaff. You give birth to straw. Your breath is a fire that consumes you. The peoples will be burned to ashes. Like cut thorn bushes, they will be set ablaze. If you who are far away hear what I have done, you who are near acknowledge my power. The sinners in Zion are terrified. Trembling grips the godless. Who of us can dwell with the consuming fire? Who of us can dwell with the everlasting burning? Those who walk righteously and speak what is right, who reject gain from extortion, and they keep their hands free from accepting bribes, who stop their ears against plots of murder and shut their eyes against contemplating evil. They are the ones who will dwell on the heights, whose refuge will be the mountain fortress. Their bread will be supplied, and water will not fail them. In your thoughts you will ponder the former terror. Where is that chief officer? Where is the one who took the revenue? Where is the officer in charge of the towers? You will see those arrogant people no more. People whose speech is obscure, whose language is strange and incomprehensible. For the Lord is our judge. The Lord is our lawgiver. The Lord is our king. It is he who will save us. No one living in Zion will say, I am ill. And the sins of those who dwell there will be forgiven. Wow, there's a lot in Isaiah 33 for us to think about. And this is edited. I pulled some parts out. And it definitely alludes to the reign of Christ when he returns. But before that, quite a bit of loss. People will be on fire. Who can dwell with a consuming fire? Who of us can dwell with everlasting burning? Well, we don't know if this event's going to be in Israel or if it's going to be on our soil. It's just something we don't know. Not as yet. And interesting, well, Ezekiel was getting this, he's been getting readings about this for days, and the wedding feast of the Lamb. And the Lord told me that the rapture would be a surprise to me. I'd be very surprised if the rapture came now, and I don't believe it's going to. I think what's going to happen is that the feet of clay and iron are going to get smashed. Everything is going to be turned upside down, and we're going to get a reprieve from the terrible corruption that has ruled the earth in every country. And it would seem to me that that would come with the reign of Christ, but the reign of Antichrist hasn't come yet, so we're not there yet. It seems like this is almost a preview for the final scene. Okay, and I got a reading by Gary Whetstone in his book, Make Fear Bow. And that's the way it is with the Lord. I'll see a book, and it'll kind of catch my attention, and I'll say, I wonder if that's a rhema. And I go in there, and sure enough, it'll be a rhema. I opened to 9/11. He was in New York City when that happened. And something's coming. Q has been warning us. The Lord has been warning us that it's coming. When 9/11 happened, Gary was on Manhattan Island. One moment, he and his son were above ground on the public transportation looking at the Twin Towers. Then they went underground. When they came up, one tower was already gone, and they were like 3 blocks away from ground zero. Oh, that was amazing. They came up out of the subway, and people were covered in ashes running by them. He makes an excellent point in his book, and that's why I'm sharing this with you. Aside from the fact that I thought it was pretty much not coincidental that the Lord brought 9/11 up, his wife was watching it on TV, and they were communicating, and they kept going over and over and over the same scenes while he was right there, and did not have it playing over and over again in his mind. So he was much more calm. The TV stations do that deliberately to increase fear and panic, which is what the iron and clay feet wanted to accomplish to justify the last war. By the way, this is what I call the ruling elite, Satan worshippers, the iron and clay feet. It comes from the book of Daniel, chapter 2, the dream of Nebuchadnezzar of a huge statue made of different elements, gold and silver and bronze, iron, and clay and iron feet. And it refers to the reign of different kingdoms on earth till the very end, which is the feet of the statue. Iron and clay mixed together, unable to hold. Then a fiery stone, which I believe is the Messiah, comes from heaven and destroys it. We are living in those times, dear ones. So please pray, be prepared, be right with God, and know that He is in ultimate control, and prayer has the power to change everything. If God calls you into travailing prayer, go to Him immediately. Lord, have you anything to add? Jesus began, "Fear nothing, for I hold each of you in the palm of my hand, and love you beyond your human capacity to understand. Therefore, let nothing terrorize you. There is nothing that takes me by surprise. Live very much by the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh and be in the wrong place at the wrong time. The time is quickly approaching when the kingdom on earth of the iron and clay feet will be exposed to the blind and deaf public. No longer will the works of darkness remain hidden, for I am the light, and I will expose them all. Your job is to stay in an attitude of prayer and repentance. Repent for your nation. Repent for your own sins. Do not point the finger or pass judgment. That is my job alone, and I do not take kindly to those who think they are qualified to do my job for me. Part of the cleansing of this nation is the wake-up call. Except this time, it will be used to accomplish good instead of evil. Pray much for your president and his staff. They are under tremendous pressures every day, and it is only my grace that keeps them going. Their job is humanly impossible, but your prayers lift them up and help them to cope and stand. Lord, will this attack be against Washington, D.C.? Claire, I cannot tell you this. You have to lay down your curiosity, that endless source of distraction, and rest in me. I am God. I have prepared and am standing over the whole process your nation faces. I will not let anyone down. Still, I must tell you that your prayers have an amazing impact on what could or could not happen. All of you, be advised. You have averted disaster after disaster because you took your heart to prayer. Now in this time, prayer is still a mighty force writing the history of this world. Do not be dismayed or permit the demons to hit you with condemnation, as they frequently do. If in one moment you cannot pray as you would like, know that I have others covering for you. And in the divine economy, when they go down, you rise up. Always avoid the chains of condemnation, for they weaken everything you do. Everything is orchestrated and anointed by my spirit. Just watch, be prepared, and vigilant over your own souls, because Satan will try to divert your attention from prayer to some trinket or distraction. When you feel the call to prayer, do not hesitate. Go quickly to prayer. So, my dear ones, this is the Lord's message for today. And please don't panic. There's no need to panic. Just obey Him, rest in Him, be vigilant. And if you feel the call to prayer, don't ignore it. Love you dearly. God is in control. Well, dear heart dwellers, that was the end of the message that I had for you today. After I finished editing it, the length was exactly 11 minutes and 9 seconds long. This is a confirmation and heads up from the Lord that something on the scale of 9/11 is about to happen. So I decided to go back and record this striking number confirmation for you to hear. Now I want to share something very, very important with you. There were some priests in Hiroshima when the atomic bomb was dropped. They were in the church praying a rosary 3 blocks from Ground Zero. Everything around them was completely destroyed except the building they were in. And I just looked up some of the information for you. It's called The Miracle at Hiroshima. The attack killed 80,000 people instantly and may have caused about 130,000 deaths, mostly civilians. 4 priests were nearby the hypocenter of the attack, but they survived the catastrophe. And the radiation that killed thousands in the months following had no effect on them. They were at the rectory of the Church of Our Lady of Assumption, one of the few buildings that resisted the bomb blast. Father Sieslik wrote in his diary that they only sustained minor injuries from the broken windows, but nothing resulting from the atomic energy that was unleashed. The doctors who took care of them afterwards warned them that the radiation they received would produce serious lesions, as well as illness and premature death. Now, I might add to that that they were in that area afterwards, and you know, being on the site would have been enough for them to pick up radiation sufficient to cause problems later on in their life. But the diagnosis never materialized, the article continues. No disorders ever developed. And in 1976, Father Schiffer attended the Eucharistic Congress in Philadelphia and told his story. He confirmed that the other priests were still alive without any ailments. They were examined by dozens of doctors, some 200 times over the course of the following years, without any trace of the radiation being found in their bodies. They never doubted that they had been blessed with protection by God and the Blessed Virgin Mary. We were living the message of Fatima, and we prayed the rosary every day, they explained. And for those of you who are interested in Fatima, oh, some amazing prophecies came out, the Fatima apparitions, and I believe one of them was that the Catholic Church would lose the faith, and that this war would end, that was World War I. But if people didn't change their ways, especially the way people dressed and were behaving and the looseness, the moral laxity that was there, they didn't change their ways, there would be another worse war than the First World War. And that would be the Second World War. So her prophecies have been absolutely right on. Heart dwellers, could it be that our Lord introduced the rosary to you for such a time as this? Could it be that those of you who are humble enough to seek the intercession of Jesus' Mother will be unharmed during this event if you're anywhere near it? I believe this was the Lord's reasoning in part. Please consider praying the rosary, dear ones. Heed the call to prayer. There are shorter rosaries on the internet than the one that we put on our music site, Heart Dwelling Songs, which is another YouTube site we have. Or you can find the mysteries on the internet and print them out. Remember, the power of the rosary has to do with the mysteries of the Lord's life, coupled with Our Lady's intercession on our behalf and the behalf of the whole world. The mysteries are the joyful, sorrowful, and glorious. And by the way, when you pray the entire rosary, it comes out to 153 Hail Marys. Now, in the scriptures, it was exactly 153 fish that they counted coming out of the nets when Jesus was waiting on the island for them with their breakfast cooked. So with each decade, you meditate on a different mystery, such as the crowning of thorns for the sorrowful mysteries. So there's five mysteries in all, in the sorrowful, and five mysteries in the joyful and in the glorious. And be sure to meditate on the mysteries of his life when you call on her intercession in the Hail Marys, because that's the heart of the rosary. And for anything else in your life that has not yielded to prayer, be like the young couple at Cana, the wedding at Cana, who ran out of wine. Jesus knew they were out of wine, but he didn't do anything about it until his mother intervened. So for those things you've been praying about that haven't budged, no matter how much prayer and fasting you do, you still have recourse to her intercession. And I can guarantee you it is powerful. And her job is to bring Jesus closer to you. Love you all, dear ones. God bless you.